Thank you for joining me, Baptist Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so blessed to just be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with you, the message of the fulfillment of the law. Man, we've just had a wonderful series. I've had wonderful response. I want to thank everybody that's just been sending positive messages of how God has just been influencing your life through this message of the fulfillment of the law. Grace brings life, and the law brings death. Not that the law is bad. Today we're going to be looking at why the law was given by God. The law was implemented by man and then it was given by God for a certain reason. The Bible says the law is holy. The Bible says that the law is spiritual. And that's what we're going to look at in the session. But before we get to that, I want to just promote a series that I've got on finances. It's a 12-part series on the truth about money, where we look at finances out of the perspective of grace. You know, I think that the financial thought pattern of the church is so full of the law. What we need to get is grace in our finances. If you can look at what grace has done in your life, it's brought salvation, it's given you peace of mind, it's given you health in your physical body. Why can't we apply grace to our finances as well? Man, this is life-changing. It has changed my life. The first thing that it brought to me was peace. All of a sudden, when I saw finances in the light of God's grace, I had peace knowing that God will meet my need because He promised He would. That God would meet my need because He's a God of love. That God would meet my need because of His riches, which is in glory, and not my riches in glory. Now, that is a wonderful thing to think of. Finances in the light of God's grace. You can be set free if you receive this. And it also brought a change in my financial situation. I just got more blessed and more prosperous as I knew grace in the area of finances. Now, this is up for a donation of any amount. And if you cannot donate, I'm willing to send this to you for free. Just send your address to the number on your screen and we will do that. We will send it to you as soon as possible. Right, let's get into the Word of God, the message of the fulfillment of the law. In the previous session, I said that I want to touch a little bit about, in Romans 6, about being enslaved unto righteousness. You know, when we are under the law brings a consciousness of sin. Now, when you walk in a consciousness of sin, it brings condemnation and you are enslaved under sin. The only way which you can be enslaved under sin is by the law. Now, the law is holy, the law is pure, the law is righteous, the law speaks of Jesus. And that law, if you try to do it, activates something in you which is called your sinful nature, which is called the flesh. And by your flesh, sin comes forth. The law which is holy, when you try to obey it because you cannot obey it, brings forth sin. And the moment you sin, you are enslaved under sin. Now, if you are enslaved under something, it means that that thing rules over you and that you must do what it dictates unto you. Now, the way the law rules or sin rules is it keeps you in sin to sin more and more and more. And we see that in life. So many people that's hooked on drugs, they first did a small thing wrong, and then it became bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually they got hooked onto drugs, and somebody can even start to murder to get money to buy drugs or whatever. Now, not that I say, and if you're listening to this broadcast and you're a drug addict, I want to just say this, God loves you. He cares for you. He is concerned about you, and He wants to give you peace and deliverance. And the fact that you sin does not bring a separation between you and God, because that sin has been paid for. You can come to Jesus and He can set you free because He loves you. Amen, man, that is wonderful. Now, to get back to enslavement under sin. When you're enslaved under sin, you will do what sin dictates unto you. And we can read that in Romans 6 verse 16. It says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Let's read then from verse 20. "For when you were the servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed?
For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, or then from sin by being made free from the law, and became servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life.
Now, what the scripture says here is that when we were under the law, our fruit was unto sin. But when we are under grace, we are enslaved unto righteousness. That means it is as easy to have righteousness in your life when you are freed from the law as what it is to have sin in your life when you're a sinner. Man, isn't that awesome? It's easier to live holy than what it is to live in sin. It's easier to walk in forgiveness than what it is to walk in unforgiveness. It's easier to walk in righteousness than what it is to walk in unrighteousness. Because the power of enslavement of grace is greater than the power of enslavement of the law. Remember what I said in the previous broadcast, that what God did in Jesus is millions of times bigger than what the devil did in Adam. Adam got it right to get people enslaved under death. But Jesus got it right to get us enslaved unto righteousness or under righteousness because of obedience, His obedience. Let's look at that scripture again. Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. So when we are under the law, we are set free from righteousness. That's why I am so fanatical about preaching the good news, preaching the message of grace. Because if you are under the law, and I want to define the law again, the law is the mentality that says, by what you do, you will become. It's not the mentality that says, by my works I'll be made righteous only, or trying to obey the Ten Commandments. It's greater than that. It is a mentality. It's not just commandments. It's not just something that's written down. You get the law and commandments. The law is the mentality that says, by what I do, I'll become. The law is the mentality that Adam bought into when he said, I'll be like God by what I can do. And then commandments was given later on by God, if you read Exodus. Now, he says here, when we were servants of sin, and how are we servants of sin? By the law, we are servants of sin. You were freed from righteousness. Means you were delivered from righteousness. Like in the positive sense, when somebody is delivered from a demon, or delivered from alcohol abuse, or delivered from nicotine, or delivered from anything that binds him, is delivered by Jesus. In the same way, when you get under the law, you are delivered from everything that's good. You delivered. You are set free. Righteousness will not have anything to do with you. Good works will not have anything to do with you. Pure motives will not have anything to do with you. Love for your neighbor will not have anything to do with you when you are under the law, because sin will come forth in your life. Man, do you see how dangerous it is not to be under grace, but to be under the law? It can kill you. It's exactly what the Bible teaches us. So let's not be afraid to be divorced from the law and married unto Christ. Now, we're going to read that in Romans chapter 7 from verse 1. It says, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. For if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, before we read verse 4 and 5, I want to explain this. I've seen so many people today that is married to the law, and that is got a relationship with the law, and they've got a relationship with Christ. That's called adultery. You can't have a relationship with two husbands. You cannot have a relationship with two heads. The one head, Christ, giving you grace, and another head, the law, being married. That's called adultery. That's why Jesus said unto the Pharisees, you are an adulterous nation. Because they were literally in adultery with the law. And people so many times today, in the church today, are in adultery. being united with Jesus, also having an affair with the law. We must be set free from that. We cannot be married to both. And this is what's happened. So many times we are afraid to let the law go because we feel if we let the law go, we are in adultery. So many times we think that if we should let this whole teaching of do's and don'ts and behavior modification, correction of what you must do in life, if we let that go, we are actually in sin, turning our backs on God. You are not turning your back on God when you are saying, I'm finished with the law. And let's read this. This is what he says here. He says, a wife is under the law to her husband as long as what the husband lives. But if the husband dies, she's set free. Now let's read verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. When Jesus died, he died your death on behalf of you towards the law, and now you are dead towards the law, so that you are set free from the law, which says that we have to obey the law. Now, this is written to the Jews. You know, it was not actually even, we're not even supposed to preach this to the Gentiles. If you're a Gentile, a non-Jew, according to the Bible, you're not even supposed to hear this law message, but we are so under laws and do's and don'ts because most religions has got a law system. All the religions has got a law system. If you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, doesn't matter what. The system that you live by is this. A man sinned. God made man. Man sinned. You became part of sin. And now we must try to obey rules. Now, Christianity, or let me put it this way, Judaism is exactly the same, but Christianity brings in a difference where Jesus came and he obeyed the law on your behalf. He died towards the law on your behalf, meaning the punishment for disobedience was upon him. And the moment Jesus died on behalf of man, you were set free from the law, not to try to obey the law, to be righteous before God or to become anything before God. We have been set free. Hallelujah. And then listen to verse 4 because it's so powerful. Let's read it again. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 5. For when you were in the flesh or under the law, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in your body to bring forth fruit unto death. Verse 6, but now you are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein you were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, what does that mean? That means that the moment we are freed from the law, we are freed from the sinful nature that's in us. There would be nothing that activates sin in us because that's what the law did. The law was there. And one of the reasons for the law is to, and I want to put it in my own words, is to make you feel hopeless, to make you feel like you will never make it, to make you see that you are a sinner. That's one of the reasons the law was given, so that you can be seen as an absolute sinner, a godless person. That's why the law is there. And if you are still in a relationship with a lawman, it's because you don't read the law properly. Read the law and see that you are hopeless. Read the law and see that you only have death abiding in you. Read the law so that you can see you need a Savior. And then when you realize that Jesus obeyed on your behalf, died on your behalf, you can now be freed from the law to be married forever unto Christ, so that you will not have fruit unto death anymore, but fruit unto life. Hallelujah. The only way unto a holy life is the message of the fulfillment of the law and that you've been made righteous by Jesus Christ. Man, that excites me. I want to say it this way, like Reinhard Bonnke says it. If you don't enjoy my message, it's fine. I enjoy it myself. Hallelujah. You know, as I share this, it's just a renewal of my mind over and over again. And just it's just putting facts together that brings a greater persuasion of the finished work of Jesus. It just brings so much joy and power into my life. Man, isn't that powerful? We can be set free from being married to the law. Maybe you've been married to the law for 30 years and you got used to her. I've got good news for you. She's died. It doesn't help you've got a relationship with a corpse. She's dead. It's all over. Hallelujah. Jesus died for you. You are dead unto the law through the body of Jesus Christ. And now you don't have to be single anymore. You can be married unto Jesus. Hallelujah. When you are married unto Jesus, you know what happens? You are enslaved unto righteousness. That means as easy as what it was to think something negative about somebody, as easy as what it was to have a sinful thought about something, that's how easy it is to think a good thought. You know, when I walk around, I think about how can I win more souls for Jesus? When I walk around, I think on how can I do something to get somebody to know more about this good news. That's what's mainly in my mind. And the area where I still have a wrong thought or something, it's the sin of the flesh which Jesus has condemned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, He has condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. And that manifests because of a law mentality. Like I said, if somebody does something towards me that's not right in my mind, the reason why I become angry with him is because he's broken the law that I made. If somebody comes and he says, he ill treats me or does something wrong towards me, towards another person it wouldn't be wrong, but to me it might be wrong because of my own law that I've made. Now, in this world there must be rules. In this world, you know, if there's not a rule that says you're supposed to drive like this or drive like that, people will just drive the way they want to because they don't have a heart. Most people don't have a heart for road safety. You know, it's like I said in another church the other day. It's if you don't have to teach somebody that's a Greenpeace fanatic, you know, that's into, you know, protecting nature, five rules, or you don't have to give him 10 rules in how not to throw papers everywhere and how not to protect nature. You know, those people will buy themselves because the law of and the rule and the spirit, that's the right word, the spirit of nature conservation is in them. That's why they don't need a rule. But if you don't have the spirit, that's why there's a rule. Now I want to say this, let's be set free from the rule that shows us that you don't have the spirit of the thing in you and that you need salvation, and let's be married unto Christ and get the spirit of holiness, get the spirit of righteousness so that we can easily live the holy life that God has given unto us and be reconciled with Him, and then Christ will live in us and we will not try to live. As long as what you are under the law, it's a manifestation of who you are. And even if you are a person with a strong willpower and you start to get things right and you live a fairly holy life according to the law, like what Paul said, according to the law, he was blameless. He lived a very good life. Even if you live that good life according to the law, you still don't qualify. It's just a manifestation of who you are, the good that you can do. It's not a manifestation of Christ. Hallelujah. I don't want a manifestation of all the good that Bertie can do. I want the manifestation of Jesus in me. Hallelujah. And that's what we can look at. That's how we can live. And that's what we can really set our hearts to. Another reason why the law was given is so that something could be obeyed, so that righteousness could be manifested towards us, and so that somebody, and so that sin could be punished. The moment God gave a law, it was actually a wonderful thing in this sense. The moment a law was given, somebody could come and obey that law so that righteousness could come. So the law was given for this reason, that everybody would be under sin, and that the law was given so that Jesus could come and obey the law on our behalf. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? The law was given so that Jesus could obey the law. The law speaks of Jesus. The law shows towards Jesus. In the next broadcast, we're going to speak of the spiritual interpretation of the law. God wants you to see the spiritual side of the law. The law is spiritual. The law is holy. The law was given by God so that Jesus could take man out of death. That's why it was given. It was given so that you can see you're a sinner, but it was also given so that Jesus could come and obey it. And that was a way that God has created so that we can get out of death. Hallelujah. And was also a way in which all our sin could be punished, in which all our death could be taken upon somebody so that we don't have to die. So I thank God for the law that it was given. It was a schoolmaster that was showing us unto Christ. But the Bible says now that we are under Christ, we are not under that schoolmaster anymore. So thank you, Jesus, that you have just obeyed the law on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus, that you have just made us righteous and obeyed on our behalf and died on our behalf. Hallelujah. Let's quickly look at a scripture in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Hallelujah. It says here, and it's just a scripture confirming what I've just said. It says from verse 21, is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. So we can see clearly here that the law cannot give life. Righteousness cannot be by the law. Verse 22, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, or the law has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So if we want to be under the law, we're not part of the promise anymore. If you want to receive from God, it's by promise and promise only. And the law came to show you that you are under sin, and the law came so that everybody can receive now by faith. Abraham believed. When he believed, he was made righteous. When he believed, change came into his life. When he believed, then the circumcision was given. The circumcision wasn't given, and by circumcision he became part of God's blessing. Now, he first believed, and then the circumcision was a sign of what the righteousness that God has already given unto him. So I want you to know that God is a God of love. He's a God of righteousness. The law was given so that you can be seen today by the obedience of Jesus as righteous, that you can be set free today by Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to pray together. I believe we've come to the end of this session. God wants to bring this righteousness into your life. He wants to bring this peace into your life. He wants to bring this joy into you. And He wants you to practically walk this path of peace in Jesus' name. Let's just pray together. Father, I thank you that righteousness just comes into the lives of so many people. That change comes into the life of so many people right now as they believe this good news in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to make use of our ministry products. You know, all these sessions are available for a donation of any amount. If you just make a donation, we'll send this to you for whatever you donate. And if you cannot donate, we will send it to you free of charge, because we want this to come to your house. And we've also got this now available on DVD as well, so that you can come and just use this in cell groups. It's a wonderful medium. Maybe you feel in your heart, I don't know how to put this message over into words, and it's maybe difficult for you to explain this, but I want you just to make use of that. Get a DVD, get a couple of people together, listen to that message, and just discuss it. Just see the life of God that would come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you that you've just listened to this broadcast. I just believe that God has touched your life. If you've experienced healing or any change, just send your praise report or prayer request to the number that's on your screen. God bless you.